Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Quoted Raheel at the end of the show, you know, that show that just ended like 3 minutes ago that I was a part of. I said, take that, Mapes. The quote is actually, beat that, Mapes. And Mapes is here, and we'll try to beat what Raheel and I did with AJ for the next couple hours. We're going to be joined by Michael Carroll at 11:30. He's back. You heard him at some point late in the previous show, urging AJ not to bring a woman into his studio. It is a cleaner portion of the building. It is where magic happens. But Michael, like, for you not to add to that magic.
Not that kind of
magic. Not that kind. We're talking about audio magic.
Eleanor Ross type of magic.
Yeah. The judge who may be losing her job after deciding to have sex in her chambers that we talked about at the end of the show. Michael would say, if you're going to come into my room, we're just going to do some good old-fashioned radio.
Audio magic.
Audio magic.
Again, not like the audio magic that was happening with the moans and groans.
No kissing sounds, no moans and groans. You're just going to talk about aqueduct plumbing or Michelob Ultra, or whatever it might be. So Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. He's back. We will talk television and movies. I've seen the first couple episodes of Spider-Noir. I saw Obsession last night. The last 20 minutes of that movie, crazy. Shout out to one of the better horror movies of the year, if not the best horror movie. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's go back a couple weeks ago. Do we remember this? I know it sounds dumb to say where we are sitting right now, but this is a really special group. And I really believe in every single player that's in this locker room right now. And I think we need to take it a little more personally. I'm sure there's stuff being said right now that makes it seem bleak. I don't think it feels that way in here. Sean, do you know who said that a couple weeks ago?
Spencer Arrighetti.
That would be correct. And since that point, the Astros have turned it on. They've played better baseball, and they now stand 2.5 games out of the division thanks to another win last night against the Rangers. The Mariners didn't play. They're hot. They're relatively for the AL West. They won 3 in a row because they swept the A's. But the Astros now within 2.5. They've played well enough, and AL West has played poorly enough in front of them that we could come back on Monday, and mathematically speaking, the Astros could be leading the AL West. Now, they'd have to take care of a good Brewers team. The Mariners would have to have a really bad weekend, which is possible. And look at that. And the A's have to do their part, too. But look at that. First place, in sight, all of a sudden. And does the Spencer Arrighetti quote become the rallying cry? It will be. It's already being pointed to by Chandler Rome in his article as a potential turning point. The team has played better for multiple reasons. Spencer Arrighetti, chief among them, he continues to pitch well. He didn't have it last night, as far as his best stuff, he talked about not feeling great, but he did find a way, and the Astros did, to take care of the Rangers.
The fact that he didn't have his best stuff and it's a 6-inning quality start is like, hey, we'll take that speaks to how far we've come as a staff and as Eric Geddy has come as a pitcher, where it's like didn't really have my stuff, and it's still a pretty good outing. I will say, I'm not sure as much as the sentiment from his last start before this one of the quote you read. Like, yes, he has been mostly proven right in the last week or so. I will say, like, it's not exactly the rallying cry. You know, it's not going to be the moment that we all remember of this season turning around. It's not going to be like the Tim Tebow speech back in Florida of, like, I promise you, no one will play as harder as
I
will play.
It's not Al Pacino's speech in any given Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good quote, and obviously it's the right mentality for these guys.
Because when
to
you
have,
started with, I know it sounds dumb, it's difficult to really get the juices going.
Yeah.
I know what I'm about to say sounds pretty stupid, but trust me, believe in us.
Yeah. I mean, that is very true for where we were of a week or
that's a guy who's self-aware.
Yeah, like, I know this looks like so stupid that I'm saying this, but I think despite being 10 or 11 games under 500, we're still a good team.
I appreciate his self-awareness to know that him hyping up this team at that point would have made everyone roll their eyes. And
hey.
But not wrong so far. So
now they're only 6 games under 500.
Yeah, that is the thing that we have to toss by the wayside, that this still hasn't been proven to be a good baseball team yet. And I asked a question on this show and the previous show, at least the John Lance show earlier in the week. When do we stop talking about what they were in the past? When do you get to 500? They're still multiple series wins away, it feels like, from getting there. But they're getting ever closer to getting to 500. And it may not take that to even be leading this division as it continues to be the worst division in baseball. But, hey, they're playing better, and that's all that matters. And it was Eric Geddy and several other pitchers to help the Astros take out the Rangers. They won 5-1. Pearson, O'Kurt, De Los Santos, and Abreu all combined to not give up a run. They closed that out after Eric Geddy's 6 innings, and they get the win. They beat Nathan Eovaldi. They got Tim. He went 7. But they got to him for 5 runs. So shout out to the club for taking 3 out of 4 from the Rangers. And the Brewers are in town. So that's a good baseball team. We'll see if there's a – like, the Rangers stink. They were better than the Astros, but they are not good either. Now we see a good baseball team. We'll see if there's a major difference now that a good baseball team is next up on the schedule. I hope not. I hope what we're seeing is the Astros playing good baseball.
Yeah,
and they're now a good baseball team. They just have to – have the record reflect that as they continue to win more games. I don't want to come out of that series going, man, thank God for the AL West. We're already doing it. If the Brewers take the series and do it in convincing fashion, like, this is an AL West thing more than it is the Astros are playing good baseball.
I don't think it's a must win series.
Don't get embarrassed out there.
Yeah. Especially you got Imai is the probable on Sunday. Where it's like, I'm not expecting a no-hitter. I'll say that right now. Expecting a no-hitter.
I'm glad the expectations are in check.
But I need to see some of that. You know, I need to see that closer to that level, Imai, than his previous 5 starts in MLB. I need to see that more. I don't need he gets 6 outs and gives up 8 runs Imai start.
Yeah, so in the midst of this really hot run where they've won 6 out of 7, and it's, if you want to go back a little bit further, it's 8 out of 10, I think, or 7 out of 10. The Cubs are a big part of that, and leading into that series, the Cubs had been bad, and that continued in that series, and then of course the Rangers, who were under 500 when you rolled into Arlington and you take 3 out of 4. So now you're seeing a team who's hot themselves. The Brewers have won 7 out of 10. They've got the most exciting pitcher in baseball, and also, they've won 3 in a row.
When you say the most exciting pitcher in baseball, who is that?
Oh, I know people might be thinking I'm talking about a certain hard-throwing starter. No, I'm talking about a DX shopping reliever.
Yeah, okay. Uribe, the most.
I know you think it's Mizorowski I'm talking about.
Yeah, he seems good.
Sure. The 6'7 hard-throwing righty.
Yeah.
Understood if you think I'm excited about him, but no. I've seen tall pitchers throw the ball hard before. I've never seen a pitcher do what Uribe did. So he's my guy. So that will be it won't be a proven ground per se because there's so much baseball, but it will be good to see if what they've been able to accomplish over the last week and a half to 2 weeks or so is sustainable against a good ball club. And as you mentioned, Sean, Emi on Sunday, is that a swing game to win the series? Who will know? But we were talking about the Astros when Hunter Brown comes back. He'll pitch over the weekend in Sugar Land. You now have a big two, which we have become very comfortable and familiar with here in Houston. The top of that rotation being a strength, whether it be Cole and Verlander, and then, of course, Fromber and Verlander. Just been a combination now recently, Hunter Brown and Fromber. Now, is it going to be Arrigetti and Hunter Brown when Hunter Brown's back? If it's the top two and you can find a solidified third, then we might be cooking with something that suggests, hey, this isn't a lost year, but we got to get there first. We got to get Hunter Brown back. He'll go this weekend in Sugar Land. I know that Hader was supposed to go last night because it was supposed to be back-to-back. He gets his two appearances out of the way, but I have not seen anything about his appearance yesterday. Let's see. Yeah, he had a home run hit off of him.
Yikes. Keep him down there. Can't have him messing up this.
James Tibbs the third hit a home run off of Josh Hader last night.
Some guy that died in the Battle of Bunker Hill hit a home run off of him. James Tibbs the third?
That's what I'm seeing.
Tibbs?
It was a runaway victory for the Dodgers OKC Comets, the Dodgers affiliate in Sugar Land last night. And Hader threw one up in the zone. And Tibbs turned on it and took it out of the ballpark. So that's unfortunate. I don't know Hader's full stats. I just know he gave up a three-run bomb to, as you said, someone who died at the Battle of Bunker Hill. I'm not looking for that. Keep him down there, huh?
Yeah. Hey, the staff doesn't have room for a guy like that.
Some guy giving up home runs to the minor Tibbs? Leaguers?
Yeah.
He is the 10th best prospect for the Dodgers, so he wasn't some jamoke, at least.
I guess the Dodgers have a better farm system.
Yeah, the 10th best prospect for the Astros. Okay, I get you're a little skeptical. It's not like that for every organization.
Yeah. I had to run that through my head real quick. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. An organization that has guys. Although, I don't even know where the Dodgers rank. I just know, just without even looking, it's higher than the Astros.
Yes.
It was the second home run for James Tibbs. Unfortunately, it came against Hader. Like he had a good night last night.
Okay,
in Sugar Land.
You know what? Maybe Tibbs was just seeing the ball well.
Yeah, seeing the ball well in Sugar Land. That's okay.
You know, I'm less upset.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was in a awful slump and Hader's a slump buster. He had already had a pretty good night, and then that kept going. So that's not great. But hey, he's still working on stuff. He left it up, and the guy turned on it and took it out. That's lefty on lefty, and Tibbs got to that. So
yeah,
that's
and you know, like everyone says, when they have a bad or you know less than good rehab assignment, I just felt good out there. You know, I was just working on stuff.
That was a second consecutive night that Hader gave up a home run.
He's just working on
How do you feel about
he feels
guy,
good.
How do you feel about a guy named Chucky Robinson hitting a home run off of him? Hey, since Tibbs the third bothered you, what about a guy named Chucky? And it's Chucky IE.
Okay. That was actually going to be my next.
I know.
Okay. He was, an opening act for James Brown?
I don't know. Motown artist Chucky Robinson.
Chucky Robinson.
He hit a home run off of Josh Hader, too. So the Comets had his
number. I wrote Living in America.
The Comets had his number. It's fine. He'll be fine when he comes back. As you said, just working on some stuff. Okay. So a little humor to go with.
I mean, it's just the names of the people that hit home runs.
If the guy's name was Dave Pearson, it's not funny. It's whatever. But yeah, Tibbs the third and Chucky Robinson got the Hader.
Now I kind of think they're a group. Chucky Robinson and Tibbs the third.
I think Tibbs the third is opening for Chucky Robinson.
Yeah.
Well, they come to the Bayou Center. Bayou Music Center?
Yeah.
And Chucky Robinson opens for James Tibbs the third. And they had a moment against Hader. No big deal. He'll be fine. Right. All right. When we come back, we'll move on to the Texans because there were words spoken by several members of the team. We got our first look at CJ Stroud since all this offseason work has been put in. Rahil and I talked about it. Didn't notice much of a difference, but hey, we didn't see him in person. He does have the beard to go with the new haircut. So I think that was our takeaway. The thing we noticed most was he did a lot to the head area as far as changing the look. As far as the body composition, if they say he's in better shape, I'll believe it. Rahil insultingly said, hey, until you are fully formed, wear looser clothing. I was like, that's harsh. Let that man live. He was out there practicing, came right from practice, and then spoke to the media. He spoke about his contract. He did a better job handling it than what J.J. McCarthy did. While we talked about it in passing, we played the clip late in the show, J.J. McCarthy talking about his relationship with Kyler Murray. The general NFL public was like, oof, that's rough. You need some media training. You can't answer that question like that. Learn from Kyler in multiple ways, not just how to play quarterback, but how to talk to the media. Like, you know, even guys like Ben Kirk, who never had to answer a question like that because his career didn't rise to the level on the NFL level of people caring about him as a potential prospect. Nice career at Virginia, but when it came down to it, he was Aaron Rodgers' backup in Green Bay. So he never had to answer questions like that, but he, along with others, like, man, come on, JJ. You can't answer a question like that. CJ, pure professional. So we'll hear from him on his contract. We'll also hear from Kamari Lassiter, the author, well, co-author of Big Hits All Day. His mother is actually the one who brought it to him, and now he...
Big Hits All Day.
Now he says it. We'll hear from him on moving on from that Patriots loss. So we'll get to the Texans when we come back. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We've had one caller. We've had a couple callers in the morning. We had Lorasso, we had SMU Sunny, but no one's going to beat Ted. Ted told us, well, Ted asked a hypothetical. Should I feel worse about my girl's brother trying to kill me with a gun, or should she feel worse about me texting other women? And then it just unraveled from there. We asked so many questions. So if you think you can beat Ted, I challenge you to do it. Or you can just talk about sports. We'll do that. We'll get into game six of the Spurs Thunder series, a blowout, another one, as we get to game seven. And Sean, I want you to contemplate this question, and we'll get to it when we talk about Spurs Thunder. We rarely see this in the NBA where, let's just say, a non-important piece to a rotation targets the star of another team with physicality. That's what Carter Bryant did to Shea a couple times on box outs where he just eyed him up and ran into him. It was very hockey-like where, except normally, if you do that to a star in hockey, someone on the other team's retaliating. Do the Thunder need to respond? And the question for me is, do you think it happens? Do you think some Thunder player takes a run at a star Spur or just Carter Bryant in general? Because if you missed it, Shea hit the ground a couple times, but this time warranted. Carter Bryant went after him and got him. One almost got upgraded to a flagrant. One of them wasn't even called a foul. The other one, they called it. They thought about calling it a flagrant. Did not. I would not be surprised in this series that has had conversations about physicality and flopping that you see some Thunder player, likely Lou Dort, because what else is he doing? He's been terrible in this series. Takes a run at some Spur. And if he actually wants to be specific, Carter Bryant. Because I was surprised that it didn't happen in the game. But maybe the Thunder ain't got them dogs in them like the Spurs do. So we'll talk about game six at some point. But before we do that, I want to talk about a big event that's coming to Houston. It's World Cup 26. FIFA World Cup 26 is coming to town. And if you like to be out and about, you got a chance to win tickets. Michelob Ultra is the one giving you that opportunity. So all you got to do is take advantage of what's out there this weekend. We're going to start with what's happening today. From 5 to 8 p.m. and all these times at 5 to 8. And this whole event, or at least promotion, is going through the 14th. But as far as this weekend is concerned, all times 5 p.m. to 8, you get out to maybe Vita Moriscos in Cyprus. You can go to Bombshells in Stafford, Vita Garden in Midtown, and Conejo Malo in downtown. All 5 to 8 p.m. All you got to do is go there and participate in and win a soccer shootout interactive game. And If you win, you get a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. That's today, 5 to 8. Go out to one of those places and get your chance, or get in a place where you can have a chance to win those tickets. I'll talk about the Saturday opportunities a little bit later in the show. The Bullpen will also be broadcasting from Kirby Ice House in the Heights on Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. As you might imagine, an event will be there with another chance to win tickets. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But play for your chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor, of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2/1/26 and ends on 5/31/26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
Voided. House of the Dragon spoilers. Even when I listen to podcasts, there's a podcast that will tell you, all right, we're going to do book spoilers now. So I turn it off. I don't want to hear it. The final trailer for the new season is out. It came out this morning. New season, June 21st. They gave away, as far as the how, at least the some of the big things is who's going to be ruling, at least initially, after this battle that'll take the better part of the first couple episodes is over. And if you remember what happened at the end of last year, they kind of tell you, all right, this person's in charge. And then it feels like it's all about power slipping away from this person. So I did not know how it was going to go. But for someone who did not read the books, there's a lot to like, all right, I guess this is the tone of this season. And yeah. I did not know that it would be the way.
This is why I stopped watching trailers.
There's so much that, like, for a person who can decipher, it's like, oh, okay, this is how it's going to go. Like, I had no idea.
I watched the first trailer that comes out, because normally that one's like either a teaser or it's at least like, it's what trailers used to be, where it's just like, hey, here's some interesting things in this movie. And then, like, there's always the one that comes out 3 weeks before the show comes out or the movie comes out that's like, here's 3 minutes of, and like, beat by beat, what happens in this movie.
I'm like, this, like, they had done a pretty good job for someone who had never.
Yeah, like, where it's just like voiceover and.
And you see dragons flying in terror because of dragons and death and all that. But this gave probably too much context.
Yeah, I will not watch.
Yeah, don't watch it.
I will not watch.
If you've been able to hold off on seeing things that would spoil it for you, this one is like, sure, there's a lot of stuff up in the air. I don't know how this story particularly ends. I feel like I know how it begins in season 3.
Yeah, I know what happens this season of, yeah. Or at least like this half season of television.
I know someone has an upper hand early, at least as far as their ultimate goal, and we'll see how it plays out after that. All right, so that happened. The season begins earlier than when the Texans season begins. But OTAs, you might want to call a trailer of things to come. Maybe you consider the preseason that, but the Texans are on the field for OTAs, and C.J. Stroud spoke. He was asked questions about what happened against the Patriots and how he's moving on, but he was also asked questions about contracts. We know the Texans don't mind giving out money to people they value. Aziz got a new deal. Nico got new money. Will Anderson got his big deal, and that is a frame of reference for this question. I believe Landry Locker asked a question. You may be able to hear him as part of the opening couple seconds here. Here's C.J. Stroud on contract talks with the Texans.
Then is it easy to kind of just put that to the side? You saw Will get paid, and I know you're eligible for the extension. Is that something that you just put behind you, or what has that been like kind of balancing that or thinking about it or not thinking about it?
Yeah, I mean, I let my agent handle it, you know, and, you know, if it's time to do it, then it is. If it's not, my job is football, so that's what I focus on, is just getting better. And I think I've held my bargain up on that edge, so, you know, I'm, you know, whatever happens. You know, I'm excited to be a Texan this year and, you know, go from there. Thank you.
Do you take anything from that little added this year? Does that mean anything to you?
Not really. I don't, because there's really no way for him not to
be a Texan even after this year if they wanted.
Yeah, so like.
Because the fifth year option has been.
It's
invoked.
Already been picked up, yeah. They, as Cal McNair said, they've already made the decision to commit to C.J. Stroud for one more year.
Yeah.
I think that this is, like, we compared it earlier to J.J. McCarthy. Like, I feel like this is more in line with the Kyler Murray. This is on the Kyler Murray scale of things of, like,
Nothing really inflammatory.
This is a good answer because you can glean almost nothing from it.
You can. The one thing I will take away from it, not the this year stuff, because we know, as you said, it's at least 2 years if the Texans won it this year and next, is he believes he's done enough so far to get that deal when he said, I held up my end of the bargain.
Yeah.
I believe from his words, it sounds like a man who believes his contract should have followed right behind Will Anderson's. Not in terms of money, but hey, Will got his deal. I should get my deal.
And maybe, I mean, he starts it by saying my agent handles that. Maybe that is something that they are working. Maybe that tells us that they are currently working on it. It's not as, you know, cut and dry as we on the outside are like, make them wait. Let's see it one more year. Maybe the Texans are talking with them. But
I would imagine it hasn't been radio silence. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they're further away than certainly CJ would like.
Yeah, it's
because if they're operating in any way like we think they should, where this should be a prove it season, he's not looking for this to be a prove it year.
No. And the Texans normally don't make guys prove it. Like they don't actually play, you know, the Rafael Stone hardball on negotiations, like where, you know, every guy that comes up is like, this is their max. It's like, well, they're not going to get the max, you know, unless they're Kevin Durant. They're not going to get the max.
And even he took less.
Yeah, and even he took less. But with Caserio, it's like almost the opposite. It's like they'll just get it done early, and it'll be a three-year deal worth a little bit more than you think. And then, okay, you know, for the most part, it's like, yeah, it's Derek Stingley. That's fine. You can pay him whatever. It's Will Anderson. You can kind of pay him whatever. It's not going to be a bad deal. But this one is different because it's not a no doubt about it. Like, yep, top of the market. See it for the next, you know, 4 years or whatever. This is going to have to be a little bit, you know, they have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
It is because of the position he plays, but also his performance relative to the guys you mentioned. That the Will Anderson Stingley stuff, there was no conversation really other than, oh, look, the Texans gave their best players some money. Depending on where this deal comes in at, whenever it happens, unless he has this great year, then everyone's saying give him his money, make him whole, all that stuff. If it's another year that's, let's say, in the same realm of the last two, the number will be a point of contention for some about you can't build a roster if you're paying a quarterback at that level this money.
Oh, yeah.
If they give him a giant, well, he's getting a giant bag, but give him a bag.
If he gets $58 million.
Yeah, the top five quarterback type bag. It'll be not just a national conversation. It'll be a local conversation about, hey, it's not a proper way to distribute your funds because you have proven you'll pay elite players at that level and no one's balking.
Yeah.
This one will be one where I think it'll be, unless he proves, I won't say wrong, unless he proves to be the guy who he looked like in year one, their most tense negotiation as far as back and forth, maybe tense says something that's a bit combative, but it'll just be something where there will be likely more back and forth than they've have been a part of as far as their other top players. And I don't think that's a problem. It's part of what you are there for, to negotiate as opposed to acquiesce to the demands of, let's just say, a prominent agent who generally gets his guys their money.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get the guys their money, sometimes those guys are gone. In some cases, he gets the guys their money and they still leave. So you are dealing with an agent.
That's why he's the best.
I mean, he doesn't have Boris's reputation yet. I think the Mulligetta reputation, as far as how he's thought about, is a lot of it's Houston-centric because of his clients that, and particularly the one client, Deshaun Watson. But I was talking about Yordanis Debo. Mulligetta has some of that too. Uh-oh, Debo's coming when it comes to negotiations with the Texans. He generally, at least it feels like, outwardly gets what he wants.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There is a little bit of, like, you know, hey, that's what the money's for. It's like, to really negotiate. Like, it's all fun to be like, hey, let's break a record for defensive player guaranteed money with Will Anderson. Or, hey, let's go highest cornerback for Stingley. It's like, no, but this is like actually where, you know, the rubber meets the road of, like, you really can't screw this up. And honestly, it's like, we're going to focus so much on the contract side of it. It really is as simple as, like, can C.J. Stroud back up getting paid? You know, it's the Trevor Lawrence thing, where the Trevor Lawrence deal, bad deal, was one of the examples of why you don't pay these guys. And then, you know, last 9-10 games of the regular season, Trevor Lawrence playing all right. Like, the contract doesn't look as bad. Or it's the flip side, and it's Tua who, like, it's like, oh, ooh, we're going to have to eat all this dead money. You know, like, some of it just comes down to, like, what C.J. Stroud does.
And even the Trevor Lawrence thing had a little swing due to the playoff performance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
when you're in that realm of quarterback,
it's just how you play.
This is just how it's going to be.
Where Dak Prescott gets paid more than all those guys, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good with how
he plays. We see how that offense operates, yeah. And we'd look at the Cowboys' defense as a reason why that team wasn't more successful. Trevor Lawrence, as, let's say, he ranges depending on play between maybe 9 and 13, 14 best quarterback in football, sometimes worse, sometimes better. His game will lead to conversations about, are we sure about this? And then, oh, Jags, nice decision. I think CJ's of that ilk of quarterback where kind of, unless the Texans get a great deal, no matter what he's paid, if he's commiserate with all the other quarterbacks at his level, we're going to have the back and forth about, this week he looks like this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And other weeks he doesn't. And is this, or was this a good deal for the Texans? So I think that's how it'll be. All right, we'll go to break. We'll come back with a guy who hasn't been paid yet, but he fits the mold of what the Texans are looking for. The author of Big Hits All Day.
Big Hits All Day.
There it is. He'll have other thoughts on moving on from their final game of last season, the Patriots loss. We'll hear from Kamari Lassiter when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to Kamari Lassiter, and then we'll get into, you would say, the current biggest story. I forgot that has that little uptick in the song. The current biggest story in college football. Old rivalries die hard, I guess. Red Raiders versus Longhorns continue. Even a conference separation can't stop the back and forth. So we'll get into that. But let's hear from Kamari Lassiter after practice yesterday. That's a defense who we know, championship caliber. They were a good, or let's say an average quarterback performance away from at least making the AFC title game. Instead, they go down to the Patriots. Here's Kamari Lassiter on the loss, what to learn from, what to move on from.
Kamari, you talk a lot about your competitiveness, but the way the season ended last year, how long did it take you to kind of flip the page, or is that something that you still kind of think about?
Flip the page. It's kind of like give and take, because you have flipped the page. Like, I didn't forget about it, but you got to move on because I can't go back. You know, I could just learn from what I did in that game, what I didn't do, what we did as a team, what we didn't do. Just learn from those mistakes and just kind of move forward and make sure it doesn't happen again. But you flip the page real fast, because if you don't dwell on wins or losses. You learn from your losses and you learn from your wins. So as soon as we lost, it's back to work.
Kamari Lassiter yesterday after practice. So, also, D'Amico talked about Will Anderson wrecking practice and jokingly saying he was going to have to sit him down to let them operate offensively. That's what he does. He does it. If he's going to do it to offenses on Sunday, well, I expect that to happen at least early in training camp.
It's one
to
of
the
my
Texans offense.
It's one of my favorite bits that coaches with great edge rushers always do, or any pass rusher really, where they're like, yeah, I had to take him off the field. We got to be able to run our practice, you know, where it's like, this guy is so good. It just ruins practice.
You know,
it's only because you only ever hear, it's never like we had to take Darrell Revis off the field so we could finally run some routes.
Yeah. To complete a couple passes.
Yeah. It's like, it's only like the edge rusher just blows up every play,
which is a compliment. And frankly, thankfully, we know that Will Anderson does that in actual games, so it's we don't have to extrapolate.
Sheldon Rankins, we had to get him off the
field. Man, that O-line sucks. We don't have to do that because we know he actually does it in actual games. But if you just take the opposite, it's like, wait a minute. You guys can't figure out how to get a couple plays off? But we know he wrecks real games. So
no one
can really figure out how to deal with him.
Yeah, and it's also just a standby.
Yeah.
First days of mini camp.
You compliment one of your best players by telling the world that even if he was going half speed.
We can't run practice.
We can't block Will Anderson. Ha ha, everyone laughs. Thanks for that. Thanks for the insight. There it is. Will Anderson, great player, informed again on that.
In case you forgot.
In case
money will spin.
In case the contract wasn't well. Is that what the Nick Caserio and Cal did? Hey, D'Amico, remind people.
Just get a little
the money we spent, let them know. He's not slacking off at all. Not that anyone thought so. So there that is. Will Anderson, still a great player. Okay. Let's talk about a conference that doesn't have enough great players to keep Texas from winning it with their twos and threes. The Big 12.
Ouch.
Those are the words, or at least the thoughts plus words, of one Sark, otherwise known as Steve Sarkisian. He told us that the Big 12, while not telling us, didn't say it specifically, but we all knew who he was talking about. A team in his state could win a power conference despite not really playing anyone, and his team's twos and threes could win that conference. So we had an SMU caller call in and go, hey, why is everyone assuming he's talking about Tech? SMU Sonny called it.
At a certain point, it is offensive to SMU. Like, wait.
Yeah, I don't – would Baylor – is Baylor good enough to be insulted by that? The Cougs? The Cougs were a top 25 team last year.
He just said their schedule is – they're a Power 5 team in our state, and their schedule is so easy that our ones and twos – or our twos and threes.
And they're expected to make the CFP.
Yeah.
So the assumption by everyone was
I guess
was
they
Tech.
Expected to make CFP.
Yeah, that was the one that was the clue. As it stands now, SMU could win their conference and go the route of Duke and not make the playoff because they're in the ACC. The Cougs, if they won, they probably would make it in as a Big 12 member. But the assumption is he's talking about Tech, and the assumption was also made by Tech's head coach, Joey McGuire. We're at the point now where we know that not only has Tech talked to the two opponents for Tech in Texas for week one and offered buyouts, we now know that Cody Campbell, the big money booster for Tech, will pay for Texas's buyout. If Texas wanted to play Tech in week one to settle it on the field, of course, Sark didn't say in a one-game situation his twos or threes would win. He said over the course of a season, they'd win the conference. He also never said they'd beat Tech.
Yeah, he never said he would beat Tech.
He just said they'd win the conference.
Yeah, he said he would beat Tech's schedule.
Yeah, he said that about their schedules. But when you feel like you're being called out, you got to respond. So here's Joey McGuire. Joey McGuire is the head coach of Texas Tech. He's got a good program. And Joey McGuire did the thing that we talked about with Spencer Arrighetti. Self-awareness. He also pulled the B-Rabbit thing from 8 Mile, where he talks about all the things that are wrong with him. So
yeah,
you can't do it.
Yeah, I live with my parents.
Yeah. I'm a whatever. He did all the things. So he undercut anybody's argument before you could get to it. We won't play the whole thing, but here's Joey McGuire in response to the conversation about what Texas's twos or threes could do in the Big 12.
You know, Sark, we played him. We got our butts kicked the last time we played him. We're 1-1 against Texas since I've been there. And I said, there's no way they're talking about us, because Sark's a pretty tough guy. His teams are really tough, and I would think that if he was talking about us, that he would call us out. Like, he wouldn't just say, you know, just kind of this comment of, well, there's another team in our state. And so I guess he was talking about us. So I've actually talked to Keith Patterson, and I've talked to G.J. Kenny, and they're willing to take our games, and Abilene Christian will go to Texas State. We'll buy our contract out of Abilene Christian. I'm sure, because Texas has got a lot of money, they can buy their contract out. But I do know there's a lot of Red Raiders that will help them buy that contract out if they don't want to. And they can come to Lubbock week one. And, you know, we can figure out if their twos and threes can win this conference. And you know, I know a lot of people are going to say a lot of stuff about me are about us. We didn't score in the playoffs. That's obvious. You can take a shot at us for that. We didn't.
I
score
do live with my mom in the trailer.
Last time we played Texas,
Joe McGuire. I told you. You can't say it if I say it first. I know.
It is funny that people only took the middle part, not the, like, hey, listen, yes, the last time we played, it was 49-point game, and the twos and threes actually did play and score touchdowns against us. Yes, yes. However, we're willing to do something that it won't ever happen. How about that?
Yeah, that's the other thing. We'll pick a fight we know won't ever come to fruition, but we'll look like the tough guy. And
we'll cancel our Abilene. You think our schedule's easy? We'll cancel our Abilene Christian game.
And if we're just judging things, Texas does have the tougher opponent week one.
Yes.
Texas State's a tougher opponent than that.
And in week two.
Yeah, I'm going for it. But as far as the games they've mentioned, the games that are mentioned as far as getting those teams out the way, giving them their money so this game could take place between Tech and Texas, Texas does have the tougher opponent, which is just part of the whole conversation by why we would never, or Texas would never do it. Look, as I said before with these things.
Hey, you want to turn this home game into a road game?
Yeah. At one point I heard Arlington too. That was like part of the things I read. I did not hear him say Arlington, but yeah. I think at some point Arlington was brought up if you want to make it a neutral field. Much like I talk about when I say that, or when I say this, it's another example of what's going on here where if two people have the thought, trust me, you don't have to be the third, fourth, fifth guy. Thank you everyone for telling me Texas is schedule's tough. I know. You said it. The four people on my timeline who said it before you said it, it's fine. Once again, I will say, if you have the idea, you should know this about yourself. You're not that brilliant. Other people have the idea too. You can gauge it. All right, I've seen it four or five times now. I don't got to say it. The world knows this ain't happening, and we also know that Texas and their schedule doesn't need Texas Tech on it. I got it. Thank you. I know they play in the SEC. I know they play Ohio State. Understood. Texas
now,
and their schedule.
If they could buy us out of the Ohio State game.
Mm. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
See, this is real negotiation here.
I mean, the joke would be, if only someone could have bought you out of that Florida game.
That too. Well, it's a conference game. It's a conference game, Dell.
I know.
Got to play.
I know.
Montgomery or Birmingham says we have to play.
I know.
Where is the?
Is it still in Birmingham? I don't know where the SEC headquarters are. I don't know.
Somewhere in Alabama.
You got just the.
Which is weird, but whatever.
It's weird. Hey.
We'll fix that.
You think they'll move it?
Texas will fix
it. Haven't they moved like media days like? Wasn't in Texas one time, or is it always been
they move it around? Yeah, I think
I thought
last year was in Arlington.
Yeah, so
for like
you're getting there at some point. The center of the SEC will be in the state of Texas. You guys are making that happen.
That's good.
All you got to do, hey, win a national title, and you have more reason to make it happen.
Yeah, but someone in this conference has to.
Yeah, is Texas a curse since you guys joined?
Yeah,
getting a little dry as far as championship games and hell appearances even. For the SEC.
Yeah.
You guys need to make up for it by eventually getting there. So, thank you to Sark. Thank you to Joey McGuire. Thank you for proposing a game that will never happen. At least it gave people some conversation. And shout out to Tech as they try to win the Big 12 without a real quarterback. At least one we know of that they paid a lot of money to. I don't know how much they're paying their backup, who now will likely be their starter.
Joey McGuire did say that, hey.
Is the Sorsby thing still on?
Well, he's... advocating for Sorsby, saying, I know there has to be consequences for his actions.
But not these consequences.
But can he play?
Yeah. What type of consequences would he want? Was that
therapy.
Ass? Was that ass? Oh, therapy's a consequence. Huh? Not
for
a
football coach,
not a PR stunt? So, but he didn't elaborate on what consequences he should face that aren't missing the season because he doesn't have any eligibility.
He basically
left.
Said he doesn't have to miss the season to face consequences.
Got it. Got it. I mean, this is why I laugh at people who just honor these guys like they aren't just like the rest of us, looking out for themselves. Yeah, I know it's about the players and the camaraderie and the community you build with your players, but particularly if they help you win games. Particularly.
Yeah.
Hey.
And if I'm Abilene Christian, I'm putting this on the bulletin board.
Oh, you don't want to play us? You're trying to buy us out?
They're trying to run from us.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, another thing that's been pointed out, last time Texas Tech and Abilene Christian played, it went to overtime.
That was a different Texas Tech before Cody Campbell got deeply involved.
So before last year, yeah.
Yes. In fact, yes. Back when they could get beat by Texas by 50 points or so. Now they're making playoff appearances. Yeah, I know. They don't score any points. Yeah, thank you. I got there before you did.
Joe McGuire. Yeah, they don't shine shoes anymore.
Yeah. They also don't score points in playoff games.
Except for Oregon's very nice shoes. They will shine those.
They may not have needed any shine after that game. So the Orange Bowl wasn't a great experience for Tech after a really good year. They won the Big 12.
Ran through the Big 12. It's a tough schedule.
Beat BYU a couple times to win the Big 12. But when it came down to it, when I got to a real power conference team, tough sledding down in Miami in the Orange Bowl. Different year, though. Worst quarterback, it looks like. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, their backup was the backup to Morton last year. So.
And Morton was like playing on like one leg and arm. He had to deal with injuries.
And Hammond's coming off a ACL tear.
That's why Sorsby was so important. That's why Joey McGuire's telling you, yes, consequences for your actions, but not these consequences. We need that guy to play. It's a big year for me. Cody Campbell's always looking, not just for players to pay, but maybe a coach to pay.
That is the unspoken part of this.
Cody Campbell's the shadow over everything Texas Tech football related.
And it's like, This roster 100% should probably go undefeated and win the Big 12.
Could Texas Tech win it with their twos and threes?
That right?
That should be the real question. If Joe McGuire came out and said, yeah, Texas could do it, but so could ours.
Yeah.
So could ours. We can win the Big 12 with our twos and threes.
Houston would be tough. Houston, BYU, week three.
Do they play BYU this year?
Not in the regular season.
It'd be tough to beat BYU in the title game with your twos and threes. Yeah. Although the games weren't close last year, but if you drop down a level with your talent, BYU could give you a game.
I can't believe this is a controversy. Looking at their schedule,
you are firmly at Colorado.
I went with Raheel
through Texas's roster and particularly the quarterbacks. You think your backup could lead Texas?
Maybe not the twos and threes. Yeah. But the spirit of what he's saying is this schedule sucks.
Yes, schedule does suck. As far as entertainment value for anyone who cares to watch Texas Tech and see if they're a real national title contender, you're not going to get any real proof, by the way, the schedule
like
lays out.
The two hardest games.
They do got U of the H, Cougs, though.
Yeah, no, but it's U of H and at Arizona home. State both at home.
That's true. Well, and the Cougs got a problem with their field and Kenny Dillingham's panhandling. So,
exactly.
It's a little tough. If you don't know, the Cougs had an event in their stadium and TDECU's field got ruined. There are questions about how they're going to fix it. Do they do a temporary fix that they have to refix after the season or a permanent one? I don't know how that affects actual games being played with the permanent fix because the games don't begin until September or late August, depending on how their schedule lays out. But once again, guys, you know, if you're just a grass field, you can just throw down some sod and be cool. You're in the state of Texas. You should be on grass. Same goes for the Longhorns. Same goes for Tech. SMU grass, A&M grass, but for the most part, all the majors, TCU grass too, but Baylor's turf, come on, what are we doing? Put the grass down. This is Texas. You can find a way to, I know it's cheaper, but Cody Campbell, pay for the install of the grass field. You got all that money. Pay for the install.
No, he's saving it to buy out of the Abilene Christian deal.
You know what? Play Abilene Christian because you're never playing Texas. And pay for grass. I know Texas Tech has always had turf from what I remember. I don't remember a time where they ever had grass.
Yeah.
Come on. West Texas, I think you can grow grass. Don't allow that to be another thing they insult you with.
A little harder, but yeah. Also, buy a private eye so you can find out your quarterback sent bet thousands of times.
Look into it before you make the deal. Yeah. Do some background checking on your guy before you make the deal.
Two schools ago, he was betting on his team.
Yeah, look into it. You got the cash for it. All right, we'll go to break. We're about 25 minutes away from Michael Carroll joining us. So if you got questions about movies and television, some of you save them until he joins us. I get it. But anything else you want to talk about before then, we will certainly take your calls on that too. And we'll get to some NBA. Game 6 was last night. Blowout win for the Spurs. We got a Game 7 on Saturday. We'll get to the NBA when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.